It's not going to be on firstborn class. Good. It's going to be more along the lines of the gathering. And some of you may remember that a couple of weeks ago, I don't know, I've been sick so long, maybe it's a month ago, I shared on a Sunday, and I shared on, the title was Mary Bethany Meets Peter. Y'all remember that one? And of course, it wasn't talking about Peter himself, but First Peter. And when we get to the gathering, in my heart, personally, and when it comes to the gathering, my heart always goes to Mary of Bethany. It always does. It has from really almost the very beginning, if not the very beginning. And it does so because the emphasis there is what I what I picture is a Mary of Bethany type gathering every year, except there's a whole lot of Marys, which there was in the New Testament. And so, and what I mean by that is that there is a heart for the Lord in a special way, or more specifically, that our hearts are so focused on Him that we're not focused on us. And that's so hard to do with humans and Christians. You'd think it'd be easier doing it with Christians. But there is, the emphasis of Christianity is so much about us instead of about Him. And I think that's what most people think heaven is going to be, you know, heaven. Well, I'm going to go to heaven and I'm going to get this and I'm going to get that and it's going to be great and I won't have to cry anymore or whatever. Some of my best crying has been over His feet like Mary's, you know, some of my best tears have come down not because I was sad, but just to be able to be at His feet, to honor Him. So I don't want to go to a heaven where there's no more tears. Because, you know, we say, well, I mean, what did Jesus say? Blessed are they that mourn, you know. But we've got it all figured out, Christianity. And I just want to kind of share along this line again, a little bit different maybe, but, and I'm primarily using Matthew 26. So if you'll turn to Matthew 26 for me, please. And again, thank you everybody for your prayers. And I would say this, please keep praying. I am hoping that this night doesn't set back some of the grounds that I have been able to make. Matthew 26. And I wanted to start with verse 1 and 2. And I want us to see that in light of Mary of Bethany. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, He said unto His disciples, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. All right, there's, I think in one of the other times, maybe even that last one, I brought out that in 2 days of this, you know, and that Jesus had said that to His disciples. And I don't think I ever went to Matthew, but Matthew just flat out says it. It just he just says it. He says right here before the story starts in verse 6, Jesus tells his disciples, in 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man is going to be betrayed to be crucified. So why are they so surprised about everything? Or why are they, you know, why are they knowing he's not going to be with them in 2 days? Why are they so upset that Mary poured over Jesus? You know, my conclusion is dull of hearing, dull of hearing, dull of hearing. And I don't want to be dull of hearing. I want, it's not just words. I don't want to just hear words either, see. I want to hear the words, but I want the Holy Spirit to take me from his words into his heart. And I do, you know, sometimes I'm dull of hearing. And so I don't always get to make that journey, not because of him, but because of me. And so so this is a sharing, but it's also all a prayer. And it's a prayer that our hearts will be not dull, but will be so open to let the Holy Spirit do what Jesus said he would do, which is bring us into knowing him the way he needs to be known, not the way Christianity has presented him. And now verse 6. And when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. And when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Then one of the 12, called Judas, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you? As I said, we know this story quite well. I think we all probably should pray right now in our own hearts that we never get so used to this story that we cannot have it still breathing life to us. And more than life, more whatever the Lord wants to, that it could be eternal scriptures, which they are. So if you, you know, if you please, just in your heart, just pray that and give it to the Lord in that spirit. So back to verses 1 and 2. Jesus didn't say, in 2 days, I'm going to die for your sins. Isn't that interesting? He didn't tell him that. He didn't say, in 2 days, I'm going to die for your sins. That's where our minds usually are. He didn't say, in 2 days, I'll be crucified. It was very personal what he said. And I, in reading this before, never picked up on it. He said, 2 days, betrayed to be crucified. He didn't say crucified for your sins. He didn't say, you know, 2 days I'll be crucified. Because our minds would go 2 days, oh yeah, okay, praise God. The big moment for us. He said, in 2 days, I'm going to be betrayed to be crucified. As I said, that's personal. That's, he's talking to his disciples there. You know, and he's hoping they're listening, that they're in tune with him. I mean, I don't know how you miss it. 2 days is the Passover. Even if he just said, I'm going to be crucified. But he said, betrayed to be crucified. So, in verse 6 then again, now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. So this whole story is happening within the 2 days. Now, I've emphasized that before, but I just think, to me, when I took this in, that Jesus clearly in the order of these scriptures here, it wasn't like 6 months ago or 6 weeks ago that he said this. This was clearly 2 days, and this says that he said it to his disciples, and that still within that time, and Mary comes in, and this story starts. So, here he's come to Simon the leper, who one of the other Gospels calls him a Pharisee. I don't know. But that's just saying that. And I find it interesting that, you know, if you knew you were going to die in 2 days, don't you think you'd be really careful with your minutes? Well, here's how he's spending his last hours. He comes. He's invited to eat in a Pharisee's house that happens to be a leper. I mean, does that make sense at all? I mean, as I thought about it, I thought, well, maybe nobody invited him anywhere because they didn't think in 2 days he's not going to be here. Maybe no one invited him to eat. This was the only place he got invited to eat. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I in one sense, when I consider that this house, the invitation was from a Pharisee that was a leper, I'm kind of looking at it almost like a step back, like if Jesus were standing there in me and looking, and I'm seeing, well, here's Jesus. This is my Jesus. This is how he is. He's just something else. This is his last hours. And what is he doing? He's going to one of his enemies. And he's going to, if you will, if it was two different things, and he's going to the sick. You know. So, and that's our Jesus. That's the way he is. He's not thinking of himself. That's what makes this Mary of Bethany story so wonderful, is that you just get the feeling he's not thinking of himself. The minutes are ticking away, and he accepts this invitation to what could end up being very bad, Pharisee. And we know that some things were said, you know, but he's there. You know, we run from bad situations. We don't, maybe don't know how to handle them, or don't want to handle them, or But what if in bad situations also, well, let me just use this story. If in bad situations also, God can take that thing and make it eternal throughout all generations, this story will be told. And what if Jesus, I mean, Jesus many times perceived what people were going to say or whatever. We say, well, he's the Son of God, so he knows all this stuff. That's fine, but whether, you know, what if he didn't know that Mary of Bethany was going to come? But he decided to come to this leprous Pharisee's house and use up some of his last hours, burn them like a candle. And what if he, knowing that, said, I ain't going to do that. Anybody ever said that? I ain't going to put up with that. What if he said that and this story never happened? Because we're picking and choosing off of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We're picking all the good and avoiding the bad. Don't you believe, honestly, don't we believe that the Lord is with us in all situations? I mean, the Bible's full of it. This is the Bible. This is the story after story after story of bad stuff going on. And in the worst of it, the Lord shows up. And, you know, and if you're avoiding, you know, those kind of situations strictly because it's not your preference, then, you know, you're not a good Christian. I'm not a good Christian. You can read that however you want, but I want Jesus. That's all. I want the Lord. If that's advertised under the name of Christianity, that's fine, but I want the Lord. Anyway, and the Lord is teaching me these things even this very day in different ways, not so much in the ways of circumstances. I think even like in the gatherings or certainly in conferences of the past, that's why I don't usually call the gathering a conference, because to me it's not. But in conferences of the past, you know, people would try to avoid certain people or certain things happening, or they would come to me and say, oh, da 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 da, like I'm supposed to run and intervene, and I'm going, you know, unless the Lord tells me. I mean, I don't even mind hearing it, but if the Lord, I'm not going to intervene unless the Lord tells me, because he could use that amazingly in somebody's life that's having to deal with it right then and there. But I'm God, and I'm going to save them from the real God working in their life. I don't know how that goes across in other languages, because we've got people from a couple of different languages, but I'm not saying I'm God. I'm saying I'm acting like God. And I don't want to do that. So, so when Mary is breaking this alabaster box, she's breaking a representation of God's lamb nature. And when I say God's lamb nature, I mean, folks, we call Jesus the Lamb of God, but I believe that they're one in spirit and nature, and that they all have this spirit and nature. And y'all have heard me share enough to know that that's what I believe. But her breaking this precious, very precious, it says here, which I appreciate, box and pouring it on Jesus is just a representation of God's lamb nature. I mean, the easiest place to see that is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he broke this precious box of sweet savor ointment called Jesus, his son, at the cross, to pour it out on our dirty heads and feet. It's just it's a beautiful representation of the lamb nature of the Father and of God. And, you know, our feet are unworthy, you know. And he took his son and poured that precious one on us. So, I don't know. Anyway, verse 8, he talks about that when the disciples saw it, they had indignation, and they were upset, and this is wrong, and, you know, I mean, first of all, if Jesus didn't know that was going to happen, not just Mary, but they were going to have that response, when you're sitting there ticking down your hours, you know, of 2 days, and you're looking at the men that you've poured your life out on, Jesus was a broken box poured out on those disciples for 3.5 years. And you're listening to, you're hearing indignation from them over something that that is yet inside of him. He hasn't spoken yet. Does that make sense? It's still inside him. They haven't heard his response. He's heard their response. But they don't know what's going on inside of him. You know? And so they're, you know, what are they expecting? I mean, first of all, they still seem totally oblivious that he's not going to be around much longer. But what are they expecting him to say since he hasn't spoken yet? And they have, you know, and they're having indignation over this, you know, that he's going to go, yeah, you know what? But he's also taking this as that she understood that he wasn't going to be around. And she's doing it for his burial. So, you know, they had indignation. Well, you know, a lot of people complain about great sacrifice or what they might have to give up or what they might have to do. I mean, that can happen during the gathering. You know, I realize that we're all not perfect and not perfectly formed out of... It's funny, I started to say, not perfectly formed out of Jesus's heart. But we're in this story right here. We're not even perfectly formed out of Mary and Bethany's heart. You understand why I'm saying that? Because if we're having trouble with what we're going to have to do or what we're going to have to give up or the sacrifice it's going to cost, see, and that's why, it's just, if nothing else, so you can understand my heart more, that's why those things to me also are hurtful, like the disciples were to Jesus, because all I want to do, and in my little pea brain mind, all I can think of is for sure, one time a year, let's all be together with one heart. Let's all, as one, be Mary of Bethany, not a bunch of little Mary of Bethanys, but let's all be of that spirit. And And I have to say, you know, I mean, it is hurtful if I hear things or if I see things, witness things or whatever. But on the other hand, Jesus, that's what he went through too, you know. And these disciples that didn't get it will get it. Amen? But I mean, what a blow to Jesus. But that's Jesus, isn't it? That's him. That's just the way he is. He's more beautiful than we can imagine because we never see what he pours out that he could have said, this should have been given to the poor, me, you know. He would never say that. He would never say that. So anyway, he's witnessing this going on with his own disciples, 3.5 years of being with them. I don't know how long he knew Mary of Bethany or, you know, the Bethany family. It was the town, you know. But, you know, if it came out of the blue, that's just this phrase we use, if it came out unexpectedly from her in this story, out of her, what an incredible thing that would be. While there would be disappointment over this right here with her would be somebody heard, somebody knew, somebody felt, because the words of how it said that, after 2 days, betrayed to be crucified, betrayed to be crucified. So, you know, it must have been like a, I don't know. You know, I know that Jesus came to give himself. I know that he knows the plan of God. I know that he has a desire to glorify the Father in this death. I know all of that. But at the same time, I was struck by the words that he said, in 2 days, I'm going to be betrayed to be crucified. It was a personal thing, and it was with the hope that they would understand. Can you see that? I mean, I think it's so clear, you know. Because he was the Son of Man. He wasn't just the Son of God. So Mary of Bethany to Jesus is the ointment. You know, she is the ointment. I wrote down, but this nature in Mary was what was precious to Jesus. To Jesus, no amount of money could buy what just happened. They're fighting over the money. To Jesus, no amount of money could buy that. Okay, now let's just stop the story now and be people in a room or on Skype or Zoom. I mean, do you think Jesus is still the same yesterday, today, and forever? Do you think that no amount of money could buy the fact that when he's going through something, somebody noticed and wanted to just be there and bless and pour out on him? Because in our lives, all he does is pour out. He pours and he pours and he pours and we ignores and we ignores. I'm a poet. But he just keeps going in our lives too. Are we one of the Pharisees? You know, are we one of the disciples that are doing that? Do we have the sensibilities of Mary of Bethany to see that and go, you know what, I want to, you know, if nothing else, I mean, really, honestly, if nothing else, during this gathering, not just the 2 days, but from the moment we start talking about doing it till the last thing is cleaned up, we go, man, let's just make it about him. Let's just pour on him. Let's bless him. Let's make this one of the most glorious things, you know. I mean, you talk about Thanksgiving. Whoa! What a great way to give thanks. So, in verse 8, they say, to what purpose is this waste? You know, I've often thought that the disciples had kind of a commercializing spirit, you know. I mean, they immediately went to you know, money, if you will. And, you know, always needing money for the ministry, always needing money for the ministry, always needing money for the ministries, you know. And that's the view of many disciples, if you will. That's the view. It, you know. And I'll probably say something about this again, maybe during the gathering. But, you know, I was blessed to it was probably a month or more, maybe 2 months in advance of our announcement about, or not the announcement, but well, maybe it was right at the beginning of even mentioning. And I said something about money. And it was so early that it was, I mean, it was real early. It was like really, really early. So that, you know, you could, you know how things go. You hear it, but then after a long period of time, you kind of forget that unless somebody else reminds me. But it came to me there's more to this story, but it came to me not to say anything again. And happily. I mean, and joyfully, it just was in my heart. I'm not going to say anything, you know, about it again, and not in any sort of a whatever way. It was just, I just felt good about not saying anything anymore. I felt really great about it. And then we started buying a bunch of stuff, you know, and we were getting electronic equipment and stuff like this, and I'm going, should I say something? Because this is getting expensive. And as time went on, different things happened, and if I do tell the story again, I'll add in some of those things. But just, was it just today? It was just today. I said, Deb, you need to tell me if we had any money come in. And I knew that the church had given some, you know, and always thankful for. But so she starts going down the thing. And the several people, I was just, are you kidding me? They gave that much? You know, and just, you know, and we didn't go over it enough to start balancing and figuring out, you know, if we're going to be able to pay for it all or whatever. That's not the thing. But the point was, I just loved y'all. I wanted to hug everybody, not because of the money, but because your hearts and the way that you moved and the way that you, it just was and is precious to me. Well, these guys, the disciples, They're after the money. I mean, that's their issue. That's their issue with her and with pouring it out and with Jesus allowing it and all that, you know? Well, that's the way ministry goes, you know? People, you know, they want their ministry to be successful, right? Come on. They want their ministry to be successful, you know? We want this, and we say we want this for the Lord. But, you know, there's always this, but if it's going to be successful, it takes money to do that. You ever heard that from a pulpit or whatever? You know, it takes money to do that. And so, you know, it all depends on money then. I mean, our success depends on money, huh? And the thought behind that is, though it's not said in that way, then gain is the answer. Gain is the answer, you know. I need gain for my ministry. Of course, Mary of Bethany's ministry philosophy, if I may say it like that. To be able to do what she wanted to do, she needed loss. I got to have something I can pour on him. Something precious. Something expensive. I mean, don't you love that? I just do. So, she probably, as you went into her ministry facilities, on the wall there, it probably said, give and it shall be given. That's the way. If we want it, we have to give. Not we're going to, you know, going out and getting the money, the most important thing. And it was a sacrifice. It was a sacrifice. She sacrificed the most precious thing that she owned. We don't know the living conditions or the situation of the time or any of that stuff. But, I mean, look at our times. I mean, this would be probably the perfect time to save up and don't spend. Then what the heck are y'all doing giving money toward this gathering? This is not the time to be doing that. And you'll stand before God for that. So, she wasn't giving to receive honor, because, you know, you can, I know people that have, over the years, you know, I've been in the ministry for, I don't even know how long anymore, at least 50 years, and stood behind a pulpit as a pastor and had people really give large sums of money and at times, and I'll be honest with you, this church has not run off of large, big givers who've had a lot of money. It's run off of the small givings and, you know, the regular faithfulness of believers. But I would like to say we are open to to any big givers that are out there. But she didn't, but I've had people give, you know, a large sum of money. And then, you know, as many of those of you that are here, you've over the years have known me, if I was responsible for taking the offering, I would forget it. So I forgot to mention some so-and-so had given that. Oh, they were so upset. Okay. Well, it just makes me want to give the money back and say, no, you know, keep it. You probably need it. There, you know, we'll be fine. And, you know, she probably, Mary of Bethany, did not give it to get a hundredfold blessing in return. Wow. So anyway, I wrote this, this sentence. Money for ministry that doesn't produce this nature is waste instead of the other way around. money for ministry that doesn't produce this nature is waste instead of the other way around. And that's the beautiful thing, you know, and I want to get off the money thing here, but that was an issue with the disciples. But I mean, that was kind of what I felt when I saw today how much people had given. I felt I was looking at Mary Bethany. I did. Poor, especially some of you that was clearly over, you know. So, verse 9, for this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. So there it is. This ointment was so expensive. And they're saying, this ointment was so expensive, we could have fed multitudes. Well, Jesus fed multitudes. Let's see. It was free. Right? I think some of us are getting off, you know. Not us, but, you know, the disciples. Giving to the poor is a temporal ministry, but not as great as bringing forth Christ's nature. Christ's nature. Or having disciples that want to feed the poor is great, but it's not as great as having Mary of Bethany come in and do what she did. Does that make sense? Is that a more practical, you know? The statement was giving to the poor is a temporal ministry and not as great as bringing forth Christ's nature. Well, the whole story is a picture of that. Verse 10, when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? I mean, why are you bothering her? I mean, it's like, I'm really genuinely asking a question here. I'm the Son of God, and I can't figure this out. Why are y'all bothering her? I mean, first of all, what she gives is her business. Amen? That's important. For she hath wrought a good work on me, upon me. For you have the poor with you always. So they're thinking, while she's doing this, they're not taking in this whole eternal reality of what's going on here that's going to be told for all generations and wherever the gospel goes. They're not taking that in. They're trying to figure out how they're going to use the money. Wow. And in that sense, you know, they missed the Father's gift to them, which was this picture. They missed a gift that they were gifted with to see this thing happen and Jesus' response. Wow. And it's going to be over soon. 2 days. Verse 12 says, for in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. And then I felt the Spirit of God prompt me. I'm going longer on this than I thought I would. Prompt me with this verse out of, if you want to mark it down, it's Matthew 15, 12 through 14. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended? Talking to disciples, talking to Jesus. Don't you know that the Pharisees were offended after they heard what you said? Sorry, that, you know, when you've been down that road a few times, it just gets funny. Verse 13, but he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. All right, so Blind to what? Blind to what? Blind to what? I mean, there's blindness in this story, right? There's blindness in this story. But it's the disciples in this story. That's where the blindness is here. In the one I just read you in Matthew 15, the blindness was the Pharisees or whoever, and the disciples were, you know, Jesus was telling them about blindness. But here, after so long a time, they're the ones with the blindness. So, she, talking about Mary of Bethany, I'll read a little more here. She was enveloped in the Spirit of Christ, though no one recognized it. She was even criticized for it. Being enveloped in the Spirit of Christ, she was criticized for that. It was there in magnificence, but you had to have eternal eyes to see it. Both the cross and this incident seemed like a great tragedy to the carnal disciples. What do you think of that? For most, there is no magnificence at the event of the cross. For them, only after, when the benefits arrive. After the benefits arrive, then they started enjoying it. Okay, well, that's selfish. So verse 13 says, "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her." Well, why? I mean, because she's moving in pure love, meaning what is that kind of love that in what's his name wrote in his book? Disinterested benevolence. And I always liked that phrase. I could never remember it, but I always liked it. Disinterested. It involves self-forgetting, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful to God. It is the kingdom of God. I mean, if you're going to talk about going to the kingdom of God, you need to start measuring yourself, not by your ministry, but by how disinterested or self-forgetting that you are about yourself as you, God and others. First two commandments, all is fulfilled in the first two commandments. Love God and others. So Jesus, within that 2 days, I don't remember. I didn't look up all the stories, but there were other people that were touched and blessed and ministered to by him during those 2 days. You know, there were other things going on. And of course, when they got touched or blessed or whatever Jesus did, they went back to their lives once it was over with. You know, right? And in so doing, they missed the lamb but got the blessing. And that's what it's all about, right? Who cares about the lamb? Let's get the blessings. So I wrote in big letters and put it in red, how important was this to him? This thing that Mary did. Well, Jesus, here's how important it is. Jesus will never let this be forgotten. That's how important it was to Jesus. He will never let this be forgotten. And guess what? If you're in this church, I'm never going to let you forget it. So then the final verse, verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, "What will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you?" What will you give me? Is this not exactly what this story was about on behalf of the disciples? Can I get an amen? It was about what you could get out of it, what we can get out of it. Even if they use the poor as an excuse. and you know, in one of the translations, it was Judas. I mean, they all agreed. But it was Judas who brought this up because it's still in him. It's still in Judas, you know. Y'all remember maybe Bolivar or when we were on Maple and this big thing came out where t-shirts and wristbands and everything, and it says WWJD. Y'all remember that? And I started wearing one. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember what I'm going to tell you? People say, oh, what's that mean? I said, what would Judas do? I know what Jesus would do. Judas is going to betray Jesus. Judas is going to... here's my last sentence talking about this verse. Then I'll read the verse again. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me? What will you give me? And I wrote this, many a minister has given up Jesus to get something for themselves in their ministry. Many a minister has that Judas spirit. Maybe it's very subtle in some. Maybe it's happens across time slowly, but eventually the ministry becomes greater. The financial support becomes everything. Somebody's a problem in the church and they don't have the Spirit of Christ, and they really, you know in your heart that they really don't belong there. But you never say anything to them because they're big givers. Yeah. You think that's ever happened at New Creation? Yeah, except for I said so. Because it is not. God will take care of you. God will take care of your ministry. God will take care of us if we're with him in spirit and in heart and in the same mind. But if we're just people with ministries and trying to serve a God that's far away, and you know, many a minister has given up Jesus because that's what he's saying. What will you give me if I deliver him unto you? What will you give me if I deliver him up? What will you do? What will you give me to deliver up Jesus so I can get something, so I can get something for myself or for my ministry? This will really be a boon to my ministry. Oh, God. Man, your ministry, you know what? One day, sooner or later, you're going to have to give up your ministry. He may turn around and give it back, or you may say, I give it to you, Lord, and he'll say, I keep it. You know what I mean? It may not even be a transfer of power at all in any form. but I think, I believe this. I believe it. I believe that he's already done it in this church several different times. I mean, I've literally turned the church over to other people that insisted that they were the pastor. Jim, not really. I'm joking. But don't give up anything. Stay with Jesus. And then if things seem to stand in the way or going to cause a movement in another direction, then give that up. But never give up Jesus. Never give him up. Never be a Judas. Never... WWJD, what would Judas do? Never do that. Keep him in the center and keep this heart of Mary Bethany in your life, but keep it, let's keep it I mean, we have to practice, amen? The gathering is a great place to practice it. Because things get rushed, and then things get, you know, and then, you know, well, time's short now, or we need money or whatever, and, you know. And, you know, and we can get short with one another. Don't do it. Don't give up Jesus. Don't give up Jesus. See the winds of the Spirit. Can you hear him? I feel it. Oh, wait a minute. It's the air conditioner. Sorry. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this time period that you've given us from your heart to honor your Son and to not be about us. We thank you also that you speak to us individually, because it's many of us in this room have our own ministry also. And you speak to us, and you guide us, you warn us, you caution us in an effort to ever move us to be in that spirit that you love and that you honor, and that you honor it so much, like with Mary of Bethany, that you're going to make sure it's never forgotten, not just by you. You'll make sure none of us ever forget it. We thank you, and we love you. We bless you forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Again, I ask you to keep praying for me, because I can feel my voice has already dropped. And it's going to be a good gathering. But I have to say this. If something happens to me or anybody else, but if something happens to me and I go down, I need some of the rest of you to jump up, grab the torch, and let's run. Let's go. Let's go for Jesus. And let's carry out this mandate that he's put on our heart. Love you so much. Bless you guys. Bye.